Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to our service today. If this is the first time you're joining us on a Sunday online, we just would like to welcome you to our services and invite you to join us every Sunday as we just go through the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we just want to worship you. We want to thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just inhabit the Word and just open up this message and just guide my thoughts and help me just to do justice, to apply in the word of faith in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, give us ears to listen, hearts to receive it, and minds to understand what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you to our service. Today I want to continue on the series on faith. Last week I spoke about what faith is and why faith is so important to a Christian's life. And this week I want to talk to you about how to increase your faith. So just a short recap from last week. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. So according to Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith has two elements, things hoped for and things not seen. So biblical faith is always things hoped for and things not seen. So every time you look in your Bible and you see the word hope, that means you need faith for that. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the things not seen. Anytime there's something that you can't see and you need and you want God to do for you, then you need faith to be applied in your life. So biblical faith comes from things hoped for and things not seen. But as we saw last week, and please listen to the message if you haven't heard last week's message. Go on to Sunday Online, XTupi. Just look at the link below and it will show you. One of the rules of faith is that you cannot have something that belongs to someone else. So you can't have their house, you can't have their car, that's called covetousness. And you definitely can't have their spouse. So please, they can give you the things. Hopefully not give you their spouse, but they could give you their car, they could give you their house. But you cannot put your faith and trust in things that belong to someone else. So please, make sure you have the correct kind of faith before you go and ask God to answer your prayers. Because God will not answer the incorrect faith. If you will not kill someone or let someone die so that you can inherit their house or that you can inherit their wife or inherit other things. Secondly, according to Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe, in other words, have faith, that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Many of us come to God without faith and without knowing that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then we're surprised when we don't receive what we ask God for. So when we ask God for something, we must ask him it in faith, believing in him to do what his word says, and believing that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and that God really exists. You know, if God doesn't exist, then you're wasting your time. So you have to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Our topic today is how do we increase our faith? Well, there are multiple ways we can increase our faith. And one of them was what we spoke about last week, is the first thing that you need to do if you want to start increasing your faith is to start to exercise your faith every single day. Now, don't start by something huge unless God shows you to do it. But don't trust God for a million rand when you only have 100 rands worth of faith. You have to start to build your faith gradually in order to be able to know God and to know that he will do the greater things. You know, people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, they didn't start by trusting God for airplanes. They first started trusting God just to meet ends meet, you know, just to have enough for the month. And so we need to start to exercise our faith on a daily basis. James 2:17, and we mentioned this message, this verse last week. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So having faith and not acting on that faith, your faith is dead. And so we need to act on our faith. Faith with any action is always dead faith. That is the reason why people do not have time for God. We do not have time for God and His Word, or do not attend church regularly, find it difficult to pray for someone, especially even their own loved ones, when they are sick and ill. You know, they're always, the famous thing is, oh my God, or oh God help, and yes, but that's not a prayer of faith. You know, it's different when you have a relationship with your God. You know, when you spend time with God every day and you have a relationship with Him, and you speak to Him face to face, or you speak to Him every single day, and He speaks to you out of His Word, and you have this relationship, and you've been trusting Him for things, and He comes through for you in those small little things, it's much easier to say, God, please help, and have faith and trust Him to actually do what He's done. Because why? Because He's done it before. Look at David. David didn't just go as a little boy and go and kill Goliath. No. He first, God showed Himself faithful and grew faith in killing the bear. First maybe a fox, and then a bear, and then a lion, and then eventually this great, huge, humongous guy called Goliath. You can't just wake up one morning and go and slay a Goliath. It takes the foxes and the bears and the lions in life to be slain first before you can slay the Goliaths in your life. So faith without action is dead. I just can't stress it enough that Christianity is all about a relationship. You know, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, your Christianity is dead as well. You know, because Jesus is the centerpiece of salvation. And without salvation, we will never see God. And without Jesus, we will never see God. And without faith in Jesus Christ and His ability to forgive us of all our sins, we will never see God. So it's all about a relationship. When you are in relationship with God, when you're in relationship with Jesus, when you're in relationship with someone, those people will do what they say they will do. It's very difficult to go and lend money from someone you don't know. Because firstly, there's no rapport, there's no relationship, there's no understanding of who you are. But if you go to someone who really knows you and who really trusts you, it's not very difficult to lend money from them if they have the money to lend you. But then we come with God without a relationship. So it's key, it's important to build a relationship with God. And your faith will grow as you build your relationship with God, as you see God moving your life, as you believe God to change you into that new creation, and you start to change, and you stop swearing, and you stop acting like you acted before. You stop your partying and all the other things you did, and now you are being different. You've been changed. It's easy to believe God for the next step or the next things. Than if you just didn't do anything, you didn't have a relationship with Him. So it's very important to exercise your faith every day and to be in a relationship with God. The next thing is that faith is built by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17 says to us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now understand this. Faith comes not through other things, but faith comes through the message, or hearing the message of God. So every time you hear the Word of God, faith is built up in you. Isn't it incredible that each time you go to church and you actually listen to the message and you actually apply it in your life, your faith, and you apply your faith to that message, your faith is being built up. Wow. That's incredible. No wonder Satan was attacking the church using COVID-19 as an excuse by limiting people to attend church. You know, what amazed me the most is when we came out of COVID restrictions last year, you were allowed to go to the bar and to go and eat and drink and go to the restaurant, but the church still only could allow 50 to 100 people, but the restaurants could be full. It didn't make sense. But if you look at it through a godly magnifying glass, and you realize that Satan has been in working this whole thing because he wants to steal your faith. Just in short, Satan has a strategy. I don't know if you know, but the day you got born again, you were the number one enemy of Satan. And his goal is to rob you of your salvation. He wants to make it so hard for you that you say, you know what, my old life was actually better. Everything worked. And now that I'm born again, everything seems to be broken. And he will do different things in your life to try and steal the word of God from you. He will do this firstly by isolating you, by getting you not to go to church and stealing the word of God from you. And, you know, sadly, he succeeded in many people's lives. In South Africa and all around the world, many people stopped attending church, but they didn't only stop attending church, they stopped listening to the word of God. Through other pastors that were actually preaching the word of God, they stopped reading the word of God, and they stopped applying the word of God in their faith in life, and so they got all bent out of shape, and so you were stealing the word of God through praise and worship as well. You weren't singing, and you weren't reading your Bible, and you weren't attending church. And the next thing he did is he started to isolate people, making people feel far from God and far from other people, because now we weren't at church, we weren't attending church, we weren't building up our faith, and this COVID thing was like a heavy thing hanging around our necks. Our joy was being stolen, because now we couldn't go to watch a movie, we couldn't go to watch rugby, we couldn't go and eat out at a restaurant, we couldn't go anywhere, we were limited, and so many people's joy was stolen. Why was Satan stealing your joy? Because the joy of the Lord, according to Nehemiah, I think it's verse 10, 10 verse 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so he was trying to steal your joy, because why? But David says to us in Psalms, return to me the joy of my salvation. So I'm from Africa, and I happen to know a little bit about lions. I'm not an expert, but I know that a lion goes for three types of prey. The first is the weak. So when you are weak, so when you're not receiving the word of God and your faith is weak, you are weak and you're a target for the devil. The second is those that are isolated. The devil started to isolate us by not getting us to go to church, and many of us didn't attend church, and that was fine, but we stopped attending church, period. We stopped listening to the word of God, and so he isolated us, and so we need crosshairs to be attacked. And then the last one is the injured or the maimed. And many of us picked up offenses during COVID. You know, many churches asked us to continue tithing, and we got all upset. Why did the pastor? He's not even doing any work, and now he wants the church's money. And we got offended, and we got sick. And so we were all in the crosshairs of the devil. It was his plan to try and destroy us. But praise be to God that you're hearing this message, and that you can identify and know that God is for you, not against you. And you might be saying, yes, Pastor, but I thought you were talking about how we can increase our faith. No, I am. But I am also telling you what the devil's plan is. Remember, there's a big difference between joy and happiness. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to steal your joy. Remember, there is a big difference between joy and happiness. Many of us are confused. Happiness depends on happenings. You know, I ask my wife and I hint about what I want for Christmas, and I'm expecting this present for Christmas, and when I open my present, the Christmas present is not what I wanted. And so I'm not happy because of my happenings, because of my circumstances. And so I'm not a very happy chappy. But if my wife gave me exactly what I wanted, wow, I'll be very happy. She'll be the best wife in the world. But she still was the best wife in the world, even though she didn't give me what I wanted. You see, happiness depends on your happenings. I'm locked up. I can't go out. And now I'm unhappy because I can't go to my party. I can't go out to the shops and can't do this and I can't do that because of my happiness depends on my happenings. But joy depends on something outside of your circumstances. Your joy needs to be put into something other than your circumstances. You see, many of us, our joy and our happiness are interweaved. But your joy needs to be based on something that is far beyond what is your circumstances. And so our joy needs to be based on God and our salvation and our future in God, not on our current circumstances. And that's why many saints of old could go to the stake and be burnt on the stake while praising and worshiping God. That's incredible. I mean, if you go and read Foxy's Book of Martyrs, it's incredible that these guys could be singing and praising God while they were being killed. So hearing the word of God is very, very important. And the good thing is it does not depend on the method. We can hear the word of God, whether it's a message that's preached over TV, over a podcast, over a message like this, or live in church. It is much better to hear it live in church because the Bible clearly says that we must not neglect the assembly of saints together. So going to church is paramount. It's most important. But if you can't go to church for one or other reason, please make sure that you bring church into your house by listening to messages. Today we are blessed by TV and the internet and many other methods of connecting with men and women of God. And I personally connect with a couple of men and women of God, J.D. Farag, Robert Morris, and a couple of others. And I listen to their messages weekly, and it's really an inspiration to me, and it helps build up my faith. So listening to God's word is so important. It is most important. And the good news is that you can start today, even though your faith might be weak, even though your faith might have taken a dip through COVID-19, you can come today and start to hear the word of God and build your faith to even higher levels than there were even before the COVID-19 pandemic. And we praise God for the COVID-19 pandemic because it allowed us to do and to visualize and to focus on other things than just on going out and having a good time. But we could actually focus on our families, focus on the word of God, focus on so many other things. Another thing that I want to do, just add to that is that when you are reading the word of God and when you are listening to church and when you are taking in the word of God, it is so important that you use your five senses. Now, many people have asked me why I have a supernatural or greater ability with the word of God than normal people. And I personally don't think I see many people that have even better ability than what I have. But I praise God and I give all glory to God for his grace in giving me the ability to remember things and to understand and to see things. I praise God for this Holy Spirit that reveals mysteries to me, and I can take these mysteries and go and study them out, and it's just incredible. But you too can have that ability. You see, firstly, you have to read the Word of God. You know, when I came in the late 90s to the realization that I'd never read through the Word of God, I'd most probably had, but I never could say I'd read it from Revelation to Genesis, or Genesis to Revelation, sorry, the other way around. I don't read my Bible backwards, sorry. Genesis to Revelation. Until I did it. It unlocked something in my life. And you know, now I read through it every year at least once, sometimes even more. And it's incredible. You know, there's a time when I've gone through the Bible in the year and I maybe have a month or two before I start it again. And I can't wait to start going through the Bible again. It's just incredible. And how the Word of God just comes alive in my life. But I want to show you something about senses. We all have senses. We have the sense of sight, we have the sense of smell, we have the sense of taste, we have the sense of hearing and touching. And so if you can use as many senses as possible in your body to, when you're reading the Word of God, it's going to make the Word of God just become incredible. So you take your Bible and you read it. So you're using your sense of sight. And you run your fingers along the text. That means you're using your sense of touch. And then as you're reading it aloud, you are hearing the Word of God. And then as you are reading it, you must show me there's a smell to your Bible. Now, my Bible has a unique smell. I once was praying for someone and anointed them with oil, and I closed my little oil holder, but I didn't close it properly. And I put it back in my Bible, and it leaked all in my Bible, and my Bible has a beautiful smell of anointing oil. So my Bible has a special smell when I read it. So as I'm reading with my eyes, as I'm reading it aloud, my ears are hearing, as I'm following with my fingers, I'm touching it, and I'm smelling it, and I could never make the connection to tasting until I was preparing this message, when God reminded me of Psalm 34 verse 8, and says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts or puts his faith in him." So what a scripture. I mean, that's a revelation God gave me while preparing this message. So it's possible to have all five of your senses active while reading the Word of God. And the tasting and seeing is when you start to believe and trust God and you start to see him acting and moving in your life, that you can actually see that the Word of God is good and that God is good. So let me suggest that you start to read your Bible aloud and start to follow with your finger. And start, if you can, smell your Bible and start to hear the Word of God and start to taste and see that the Lord is good. In summary, the way you grow your faith is through exercising it every day, through reading the Word of God, following it, using all your senses to read the Word of God and to hear the Word of God, hearing gospel messages every single day, or at least once or twice a week, but as much as possible. You know, when you drive in your car, listen to the Word of God. You know, when you're driving in your car, listen to a message. It's amazing what God will do in your life. By exercising your faith daily, it's like a muscle. So, you know, you need to just exercise it. And faith comes when we believe the message, we believe God's word, we apply God's word, and we start to do what God's word says, and we come to him knowing, in faith, knowing that he's going to reward us for our faith. The Word of God will always produce faith in your lives. And when you hear the Word of God in any form, it will always produce faith. But we have to listen to it with understanding and application. So I just want to encourage you to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to use your senses to receive the Word of God, and to hear godly messages on a consistent basis, especially reading the Word of God daily, hearing a message of God at least once a week, if not more. You will grow. You know, there was a song that we sang in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow. Forget your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. Let us pray. Father, I just pray for my friends. I just pray your blessing over us. Holy Spirit, you are the guide. You are our ultimate guide. You are sent from Jesus to help us to understand the word. And I thank you for the understanding you've brought me. I pray right now, Lord, for each and every one of us who wants to receive your inspiration in our reading, that you just make the Word of God become alive, that you make the Logos Word become a Rhema Word of God in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I want to just say God bless you. I just want to encourage you. And next week we're going to go and actually practical faith. What is practical faith? And why practical faith works all the time. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.